The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
So what do you do when you want to pass the torch from one generation to another? Gosh, that sounds awfully political. I remember those sayings from John Fitzgerald Kennedy years and years ago. But we're not talking politics. Today we're talking about business. And with us in the Business News Hour today is Sam Creamer from the Creamer Law Firm. Welcome, Sam. Good to have you here again.
Thank you, Michael. It's always nice to be on the show.
The topic for discussion is passing the torch, however, isn't it?
It is. Michael, on reflection, there's really only three things that an owner can do with their business. First, they could run it forever, which no one has successfully done because the Live Forever plan has yet to find its benefactors. But by the same token, that's certainly an option. The second is you could close it and go bankrupt. Well, most business owners don't like that approach very much. And the third is actually to transfer it on. Now, you can transfer it on either to somebody inside or outside, and I'll talk a little bit about those. But the point is that succession planning, which has become very popular in common parlance for closely held businesses, is the process by which an owner intentionally transfers the ownership of the business. Unfortunately, Michael, most businesses get transferred unintentionally.
Unintentionally?
They either transfer as a result of a death of an owner, they transfer as a result of a bankruptcy, they transfer as the result of poor management. Most businesses can transfer successfully throughout generations if there is a plan, and the plan basically needs to contain the elements of success.
Okay.
Succession planning itself, just the word, has two common elements. One.
Success.
Is success.
Yay!
Is that it actually does something, that it actually forwards a goal. But it also has the word succession, meaning someone else will come in.
Now, when we talk about succession and who might be best to take over that business, I suspect we're going to start down a laundry list of potential inheritance?
Inheritance is certainly an option. And many businesses that are closely held are family businesses, and there is a desire to keep it in the family. But that's not always the case. When I look at succession planning over my 36 years of practice, I look at two different options. One is to have an internal succession plan. An internal succession plan to me means that someone who's already in the business is going to ultimately own and control the business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that individual could be a family member. That individual could be a key employee. That individual could be someone that has great experience. But it's somebody who's already in the business is an internal succession plan. The alternative to an internal succession plan must be an
external. How about
external
that?
External succession
Yay.
Plan. And that essentially means that the business is going to transition to someone outside of current ownership and outside of current family and outside of current employees. In reality, Michael, there really are two different types of buyers for a business that is not going to be internally transferred. One type is a competitor that's either in the market or wants to come into the market. The second is oftentimes less successful, and that's someone who has always wanted to be in the business.
I've got to run a restaurant.
I've got to run a restaurant is something we've heard over and over, and it is not necessarily a recipe for success, but it's not necessarily a recipe for failure either.
It depends. One of the things when you were talking about employees that are currently there, perhaps becoming the people that will now take over the business, is an ESOP, is an employee option, stock option, is that one of the ways that you can plan to do this with key employees reserving that right?
An employee stock ownership plan is a very sophisticated tool that can be very effective for an internal succession plan. In an employee stock ownership plan, the employees wind up owning the company. The company is then run by the employees, and there are benefits for the seller, for the person transferring the business on, both tax-wise and economically. Although ESOPs are quite technical, they are quite beneficial. But because they're technical and beneficial, they also wind up being somewhat expensive. We find that in our practice, unless a company has gross sales in excess of $5 or $6 million, that an ESOP is normally too expensive an option for a closely held business to use as a transfer device. We have, however, used them, and we are very, very bullish on them in the right circumstances.
All right. So we're talking about succession planning, passing the torch, if you will. What kind of steps are involved, Sam, in getting to that point?
Well, the first and most important step is to assemble the team. And the team starts with the business owner. Too many times we see a business owner that wants to buy a succession plan, or that a business owner feels like, you know, I'll have my number two guy do this. Well, no. Unless there's actually buy-in by the top management, by the owner, him or herself, a succession plan is doomed to fail.
Why is that?
Because if there isn't a true desire, if there isn't real buy-in to make the plan happen, to effectuate the plan will sit in somebody's drawer and just be an expensive set of useless papers.
And when you say get the team together, put the team together, is that the owner, the CPA, the attorney? Is it family members?
It's basically all of the above.
Yeah.
As we just discussed, the most important person is the business owner.
Sure.
But then there's the team. And the team includes, of course, the lawyer to help draft the documents that effectuate and reflect exactly what is to happen. But also the successor is a very important player. Now, again, if that's an internal succession plan, that could be a family member. That could be a key employee. But if it's an external plan, well, you've got to get to know who is ultimately going to be the owner of the business.
Well, and there's a lot of things involved in that in itself, isn't there? So what's the value of the company? How are you, right?
Valuation is extremely important, and nobody is not interested in money. However, also important is how and when the plan is going to take place. So again, we've the business owner, the team, which includes lawyer, the team also includes accountant. These transactions are extremely financial sensitive and tax sensitive. It's necessary that your team, for a proper succession plan, include a capable CPA as well as a capable attorney. The other piece to a good succession plan depends. And I would tell you that if someone is using a business coach, I think that person ought to be involved in a succession plan. If someone's using a family therapist, it's sometimes possible that they should be involved. Whatever you do, make sure that those people who are involved in the plan not only have the abilities to make a positive contribution, but also can keep quiet about it.
Mm.
Because unless or until the plan actually goes into effect, the business owner probably doesn't want anyone to know much about it.
That's right. Well, and especially because if there's competition out there, they may seize the day, so to speak.
Well, they may seize the day, but if it's going to be an external succession plan, meaning it's going to be sold, it's
about
possible
those employees.
Those key employees may jump ship, and then you would really have much less to sell. The steps in creating a succession plan or effectuating a succession plan are important. But it's more important that they happen sort of in their own time. A succession plan is a little bit more like chili than it is like a salad. It's much more a blended event that happens all together. The most important thing is that there be clearly stated goals. And those clearly stated goals should be written. We tell our clients that if you don't have a writing which reflects it, the plan is merely an intention. Mm. It's merely a hope. Further, it's got to have some type of time frame connected to when the steps of the plan are going to be achieved. Again, we tell our clients that a plan without time frames is really just a dream.
So when this is very important, I mean, if you're going to do this, you might as well make sure that it's A, written down, that it has a timeline so that you can follow along with that timeline. And are there steps in between from beginning to completion?
There are. And a succession plan is never truly complete until the ownership of the business transfers. Now, that transfer, again, could be post-mortem. It could be through a will. It could be through some type of event that happens after the death of the owner, or it could occur during the lifetime of the owner. If it occurs during the lifetime of the owner, the owner has the opportunity perhaps to retire. The owner has the opportunity perhaps to recognize the value of the business. The owner has the opportunity to have the self-fulfillment of a legacy being transferred during their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the documents that are necessary really depend on the transition. But the first thing that's really important is that the business do something of a self-audit.
What are we?
What are we and who are we? It's important that you look to who the successors are, what the strengths are, what the weaknesses are, what the competition is, so that you have a good feeling for exactly where you are and what you want to do. That then helps with the decision whether it's going to be internal or external. Second, there ought to be a written managerial plan for how to do this. Now, what I mean by that in part is that you've got to look at things like, is there an employee handbook? Are there policies and procedure manuals? The difference between a job and a business is a business has reproducible results. Reproducible results often come from the fact that they have policies and procedures that are followed and best if they are written, so that if someone gets hit by a beer truck, those policies and procedures don't go with the person.
Speaking of the beer truck, I would imagine that part of this might want to include vendors, people that you're already doing business with.
I would recommend that vendors not be involved unless or until you're well down the line.
Got it.
Because, again, vendors could get nervous that Sam is no longer going to be in the widget business, and they decide that Sam's son is not the person that they want to do business with. Well, it may turn out that Sam's son doesn't ultimately get the business.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that there is a timing and a procedure to all of this. The other thing that's important is to assemble the financial documents. You've got to know who you are and why you are. And what I mean by that is you've got to isolate things like, are you really vulnerable to three large customers? Do you have some type of financial arrangement which could be expiring, like a franchise? Or do you have some type of line of credit that could ultimately get pulled, which would really impact your ability to continue in business? So a CPA, in part of this self-assessment, is very important, as is the lawyer, to make sure that there are things like employment agreements, to make sure that your employees are tied into the business, non-compete agreements, to make sure that if an employee leaves, they don't take all of your intellectual property with them. I think that it's also interesting that most closely held businesses either don't know where their minute book is or have not seen it in a very long time.
Minute book? What minute book?
Again, I think it's important that you have documentation of what decisions have been made and who has made them, what directors' meetings have been held, what have been the results of those, what shareholder meetings have been held, what are the results of those.
And that clearly lays out what the direction has been. It doesn't necessarily mean that it will change, won't change in the future, but at least you've got a past roadmap to look at.
This brings us to a very important distinction, and that distinction is that minutes often reflect activities which are the business of the business and not the business itself. Now, what I mean by that is minutes may reflect that a new contract has been reached with the University of Iowa to provide them with XYZ. Well, that's the business of the business. It's not the business itself. And one of the things that's very important if someone wants to engage in succession planning is to make sure that they're talking about the business. What is its competitive stage? What is its future? How is it going to achieve greater markets? How is it going to move forward without the key individual?
There's lots of planning in all this.
There's lots of planning involved in this, and fortunately, there are lots of people who can help.
What happens, Sam, if a business owner has already said, look, I think I've got a buyer, and that buyer is XYZ Corporation over here, going to buy me out. Is it, if he or she has that inkling that there's already a buyer on the wings, is his succession plan still important?
That is a succession plan. That is an external succession plan. That would be an opportunity for the owner of the business to realize the value of the business by selling it to someone else. When you engage in that type of sale, one of the things you've got to be careful on is how much you get in cash and how much you take in a promissory note. There's almost always a promissory note involved in closely held sales. And the real question is, how will that money be paid over the period of time? Hence, there's always a concern that the buyer needs to be successful for the seller to be successful.
Absolutely.
So there's always a relationship involved.
We're talking with Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen, from the Creamer Law Firm about passing the torch, succession planning for closely held businesses. What else, Sam?
Well, some final thoughts, Michael. And the final thought that I'd like to leave our listeners with is Ben Franklin appropriately taught us, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Yeah.
And if you don't do any of this succession planning, if you don't think about what's the future of your business, ultimately, you don't have the good options which could be available to you if you plan it out. Again, the Live Forever plan has not found to be successful so far. The idea of closing the business and going out of business is unpalatable and not financially rewarding. So then it gets us a little bit to what Stephen Covey taught us. You have to begin with the end in mind. Businesses have to think about, what's the end game? Where is this ultimately going to go? Is it going to go to a child? Wonderful. If so, is it going to go during lifetime? If not, is it going to go through a will? Is it going to go through a buy-sell agreement? Is it going to be external? I'm going to give my family the value of the business.
Mm.
I'm not going to give my family the business itself because I'm going to sell it to someone else who can run it, and that way I'll be able to retire and maximize the value of my business.
In many businesses, in the farming world, for example, and this is one of those issues where succession planning, I suspect, is also extremely important because you've got perhaps a child of the farmer or grandchild of the farmer who wants to take an active interest in the farm, but maybe you've got three other kids, one living in Detroit, one in Los Angeles, one in New York, with no interest in taking over the family business. How complicated does that get?
It gets complicated, but it gets simple. It gets simple if you plan for it. It gets complicated if you just sort of let it happen.
Mm.
It is our finding that those off-farm heirs all of a sudden become farming experts and make the on-farm heir absolutely crazy. That is a farm is a business. I'll grant you it's a very special business, and people who farm have an attachment to the business which goes beyond what people who make widgets would normally have. But by the same token, if you plan for that transition, what you could do is create a situation where the on-farm heir either buys out his siblings. You could create a situation where there's life insurance to provide some other asset for the non-farming heirs. You could create an opportunity for there to be harmony in the family. If you don't plan for it, it will not happen. And we have seen occasion over occasion over occasion where families are absolutely destroyed over assets which could have been planned for and in an orderly succession planning transition could allow the family to maintain wonderful relationships.
You know, this is all very timely conversation because now we're coming up on the end of 2017, the beginning of 2018. Many people start their planning process for the next year now, or hopefully maybe 30 days ago or so. So is this a good time to start this?
There is never a bad time yeah. to start this. Mm-hmm. Having said that, you cannot begin yesterday. So therefore, you should begin when you are ready. The most important part of all of this is for the owner to be engaged. Unless or until such time as the owner truly feels engaged, it will not truly be a successful succession plan. Having said that, we do not recommend waiting for a heart attack in order to start this process. Yeah.
Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen, from the Creamer Law Firm. Thank you so much, Sam. Good stuff, especially this time of the year. You know, and there's another factor involved in all this. This is a time of the year when families start to get together for a myriad of family celebrations. Probably a good time to start.
We recommend that the family celebration time be just that and leave the business issues for a time when there's an ability to focus directly on the business. So to all of those that have holidays coming up during the month of December, including probably most of our listening audience, I want to wish everyone a very happy holiday. I want to wish everybody a successful 2018. And I think that this can be a wonderful opportunity for you to create a succession plan for your business and to grow your business in a way that you had not considered before.
Sam Creamer from the Creamer Law Firm, passing the torch, succession planning for business owners. Thank you, Sam, for doing this.
Thank you for letting me be here.
All right, sir. We're going to step aside, find out what happened today on Wall Street. I can tell you that we started off with a bang. I mean, the Dow was up by over 300 points, and then things started to trickle into the news cycle that gave investors pause, we might say. We'll take a look at those numbers when the Business News Hour continues.